Welcome to the Coaching Skills for Leaders podcast with Jana Henderson and Neil Thubron. The purpose of the podcast is to help leaders anywhere develop their coaching skills to transform the lives of those they lead as well as their own.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Coaching Skills for Leaders. I'm here with my dear colleague and friend, Neil Thubron, who's joining us from the beautiful, most marvelous, sunny Antigua today. So thanks so much for tuning in to our conversation. I'm actually really excited about today's conversation because it's the first time that we have a listener question that we're bringing into our podcast. And this question was about, what do I do if I have an individual who wants to be coached but isn't making progress? And so it had me reflect a little bit, what do I do in those kinds of situations? And then as I was, having that conversation with Neil, he was proposing that we combine it with something that's called quality quantifiers, because it's a really great coaching tool to assess where you are, where you want to be, what you want to create, how you're feeling. And so this is what we're going to be talking about today, how to get someone to engage and using these new tools.
Yeah. And I'm excited too today, because the both of these are really great connections, because the quality quantifier is something I use so much in my coaches. So it's a real coaching skill that I'm really excited about sharing with the leaders that are listening to this. And also that question about how do you help someone, how do you move someone forward who's being coached but isn't making progress? I think that's a really good question. It's really frustrating as a leader sometimes when you have that individual who wants help but you don't feel like they're making the progress you want them to make. So, Jana, how would you...
Yeah. So I think one of the things that, kind of came out of my conversation with the listener was that, sometimes it's unclear as to what progress would even look like and what it means to them versus to the coach. So I think from a coach's mindset perspective, we have to be astute and aware to check in with ourselves if it's our definition of progress that's not being met, as opposed to the coachee's or the team member's definition. So that was one point. But also, it's often a sign that the outcomes aren't very clear that they want to work towards, or the action steps weren't very clear, or that other stuff is just going on with them. So in principle, when I have somebody coming to a coaching call and they didn't take action on what was previously discussed, it's usually just a point for me to get curious, right? Like, what's going on? And I would just ask them, how did things go? What's happened? What didn't happen? Was there anything in the way from making this happen? Remember not to use "why didn't you," right? Because that puts people on the back foot and defense. Yeah. But really just getting curious. Is there maybe something going on in their personal lives that's preventing them? And really, what were they hoping to get done? And what prevented them?
Yeah, and I can see this in leaders in business being that kind of that frustration, because you want to see progress. You want to see action. Yeah? And I've personally struggled with switching from that action-orientated person who wants to get people moving along at the pace I want to get moving along at, but having to then step back and actually take the coaching mindset is it's about them, not about me. Mm-hmm. And so if you feel they're not making progress, which is valid, and you might see they're not making progress, I guess that question around, so how are we doing? How are we doing against, you asked me to support you or coach you with this career aspiration or this customer situation. Mm-hmm. How are we doing about where you wanted to get to on the, against that goal or against that objective? So rather than you're not making any progress or progress isn't what you expected, a question around how do they think? Because that's a really key point that you make there, Jana, which is, it's about how they feel they're making progress, not about how we feel as the leader or the coach.
Yeah, from, returning back to the coach's mindset, which is one of the most listened to podcast episodes of all the episodes. It's very, very popular. I think the difference here that we have to bear in mind as leaders is to really keep in check our own judgment and assumptions and opinions and biases, because we want to support them in a holistic way. We want to understand, okay, so sometimes it may be, you know, in the case of the leader, it may be that we weren't very clear in our communication, or we didn't really dive into how, you know, what are the agreed actions until next time, right? Or what is it that they specifically want to get out of it? But sometimes also it's that the person who raised their hand to get the support may not actually be fully enrolled in what they're working towards. Now that, I think, is a like much trickier situation, because there's then something underlying where we have to figure out, basically, there's not enough leverage, right? Like, so
they kind of say
they want all these things, but the leverage and the buy-in, the enrollment is not there. And that's where I think the powerful questioning comes in, and we really want to get clear on, hey, what had you sign up for this in the first place? You wanted to have the support. What did you want to be different? What is it that you're not sure about or clear about in order to make the most of this time? Now, we know that most of our listeners and leaders are not coaches, right? That they are coaching, they're using coaching skills in their workplace. So we wouldn't expect you to be coaches and act like them. But in order to truly get the most out of the individual, I would, for first of all, just start on focusing on having them evaluate how it's going.
Yeah, right. And that's a perfect lead into how you can then use quality quantifiers in that. So the most simple one that I use, so just as a teach-in now, the most simple quality quantifier that I use and y'all use, the one that's really easy to remember, is a 1 to 10 scale. So 1 is where you were, or where you don't want to be, the worst case scenario, and 10 is where you want to be. It's the future. It's where you want to be. And a great question to ask someone is, you know, so you were here and you want to be here. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you now? Where do you think you are now? And it doesn't matter what the answer is. It doesn't matter whether they think they're a 7, an 8, or a 2, or a 3. Mm-hmm. Because the next question is the key question. And the next question is, what would it take to move from a 7 to a 7.5, or from a 3 to a 5? What would it take? What are the things that are holding you back, or what are the things that would support you to move you to that next level, if you want to?
Absolutely.
One of the things I also like about that, which just occurred to me as you were talking, was something I notice with motivation leverage is when you're moving away from something, so you're moving away from the one, you haven't got the same leverage as when you're moving towards the 10. And I see that a lot in people in the business world. There's things they don't want, and there's behaviors they don't want, or they don't want to. I don't want to be late for meetings anymore. I don't want to procrastinate anymore. I don't want to overrun on these situations anymore. I don't want to keep missing out on a promotion. That's moving away from, and that's the one end of the scale. Whereas the 10 end of the scale is moving towards. So what comes back to your famous question: what do you want?
What would you like? Yeah, absolutely. No. Exactly that. And I think, in coaching terms, another way that we look at this often is a very classic, this wheel of life coaching tool, or we can call it wheel of work. You know, we've used it even as a wheel of sales in our workshops. And it's really just helping to look at different areas of what's going on in their work life or personal life, to help them make that assessment of where is it actually out of balance, right? When we look at it as a wheel, which areas, like a 5, a 7, a 10, a 9, a 0, like where is it out of whack? Because sometimes as people aren't even quite aware of what's having them feel the way that they are feeling. So that can be a really other great way to get more depth into that. But like you're saying, the biggest piece around this is really creating some leverage and enrollment in what they actually want to create, right? So if a person is seemingly not making progress, it's not that they are lazy, usually, right? There's something else that's keeping them from making progress. And, you know, another coach's stand is that we hold them as being whole and complete and, you know, creative, remember, from our previous conversations also. And that means that they are trying and doing the very best they can right now.
Yeah.
That's the basic assumption. If they knew how to do any better or differently, they would. that's a hard one for people to work with sometimes, because we often consider that they're not doing their best.
Making judgment. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's where these tools come in, is to help them just take a step back and break that down a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I had a real example, actually, the other day, where the wheel of leadership, shall we call it, was really, and the wheel, by the way, for those that are listening, and is a wheel segmented into chunks, like cheese chunks that are maybe eight, and each chunk you would put, let's say with leadership, you might put people management, and you'd rate your relationships with your people 0 to 10. Yeah. It might be the relationship with your boss. It might be your strategic time spent doing strategy, or whatever the different elements are, and you rate them 0 to 10, and you can then see where you're at. Mm-hmm. I had a real example the other day where someone in a new role was feeling very overwhelmed. Said, "Yeah, I'm really overwhelmed. I'm not sure I'm enjoying it." And it was, and I'm not sure I'm able to do this, or I'm able to actually do this new role.
Yeah.
I use that wheel of life, the wheel of leadership, to step back, go, okay, let's just chunk down all the different elements of your job.
Mm-hmm.
Managing people, dealing with customers, selling, building partner relationships. Let's map it all that. And let's rate against where you see yourself, skills, experience, motivation, against all of that. And it actually only came down to nearly two segments where they weren't comfortable, which was to do with the new products they were selling, because it was a new company, and something to do with business development, new business. And actually, when you looked at it, it was only those two chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly that overwhelm became much smaller.
Empowered, right? It's empowering. Yeah. That's a great example of empowering the person, because it's really helping them see that it's not everything, right? Because sometimes we can be a bit generalizing and like, everything is terrible, I feel terrible. But actually it is that it's something specific that is figure outable and fixable, right? And so this may be the case for, like, from the listener's question, maybe the same case, that actually they realize in conversation that what's been holding the person back from taking any action is something very fixable. Right. So I love that you bring that up, because it's really bringing clarity to what's actually causing the issue.
Yeah. And I think those two tools we've just shared with you, the quality quantifier, the 0 to 10 or the 1 to 10 scale, you can use that in so many situations. You can use that when in a project. Where are you at the start of the project is 0, the completion of the project is 10. Where are you on this scale? Where are you in this deal you're trying to close? You can use it, not just, well, I suppose that is coaching with a project or coaching, but you can use it in any way. And then the wheel, chunk it down, break it into the segments, you can use that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the third model, which I've just learned, by the way, that Jana just shared with me, is?
It's called the emotional scale, right? So it's about really from 0 to all the way to top 10 plus positive 10, or from 0 to negative 10, which is a way for us to discern and distinguish what we're actually feeling. So in the case of 0, you have to imagine it's like a scale of like 20 feelings, right? So at 0, we would be feeling neutral and relaxed. The plus 1 is like peaceful, calm, plus 2, content, okay, plus 4 would be hope, plus 5 is strong, right? Like, you can see that we're getting to better and better, better feelings. And then confidence and happiness, enthusiasm are sort of in the upper, top there. And then at the top at plus 10, we have joy and love and freedom and gratitude. So really like expansive, self-actualized feelings. And towards the negative side of emotions, into the minus, we have maybe something like pessimistic or frustrated, irritated, overwhelmed, anxiety, boredom, doubt, those types of things, all the way to really anger, worry, guilt, depression, feeling stuck, those types of feeling, to minus 10 being complete powerlessness, unworthiness, and shame. And so the way that I use this model is really to encourage a person to do two things. One, to expand the vocabulary that they have about their feelings and their feeling states, so that it's not just a matter of I'm feeling fine, okay, and absolute, you know, losing it, because that's usually where people are at, right? Because they're so disconnected from their feelings. So using something like the emotional scale just gives vocabulary to discern how bad is it really. And because they go from 0 to -10 or 0 to +10, it gives us an opportunity to make this assessment that you just mentioned, right? Like, and then the other piece is that oftentimes we approach a coaching conversation or, you know, a negative situation wanting to get from like -7 or -8 to +7 or +8, when really sometimes it might be just as simple as wanting to get back to 0 and feeling neutral, okay, some sort of acceptance about things. And even as little as, you know, where could I be finding myself, or what would make me feel from going something like overwhelmed and anxious to at least having some relief, feeling more neutral, feeling some calm, instead of trying to go all the way back to, oh, I'm empowered and fun. It's a bit like fake affirmations where you're like, you're broke and you're like, I love abundance. Money is flowing freely to me, like that kind of stuff, which is just too far apart. So it's not believable for us that that's available. And so the emotional scale really helps to look at what is actually believable for me in terms of progress from here.
Yeah. What I love about it also is that we've talked about chunking things down. That's what all of these quality quantifiers do. It helps you put a pin where you are now, where maybe where you were and the progress you've made or not. Maybe you've gone backwards, but it helps you put a pin in something that's tangible. Mm-hmm. And again, in a business world, for leaders, this really helps, because we spend all our time talking about KPIs, talking about, you know, numbers and figures and stuff. So this really helps. And the thing I love about this is you mentioned going from -7 to +7. I'm just looking at it now. So if someone wants to go from it's discouraging and difficult, that's how I'm feeling, the emotion I've got now, and I want to move to confidence. Right. That isn't one step.
Yeah.
It's not one step. So being able to do those steps, being able to move from discouragement and difficult. Okay, what would it take to move to being frustrated and irritated, which is -3 on this scale, or whatever the emotion is? What would it take? That just helps make it more manageable for the person to get their head around. I'll never be confident. Right, I'll never get there. It's too much. You know, I just haven't got the time to do all of that. Well, okay, what would it take though to just make this little step now? And then maybe next week we'll do another little step.
Yeah, absolutely. Really great point. I really like that. And it just, again, it's about empowering the person and really have them take ownership. You know, one of the things that we have sort of mentioned on the sides in different ways is that really what we want to help people do as leaders is to go from a level of being at the effect of life and being sort of in victimhood to being at the cause of life, to be responsible for what you're creating. And so using these quality quantifiers for me is a way to help them gain a level of, you know, ownership and responsibility, and really being like, okay, well, yes, I'm here right now. And the other pieces, of course, that you shared, that this is not, this is a snapshot always. It's not the whole movie. So really, you know, encouraging the person to see that this is what it is. It's not every day, It's a momentary snapshot. It can be very empowering as well.
Yeah, brilliant. So these three models, this any kind of model that's going to help someone put that pin in to work out, visualize where they are on that scale or on that wheel, or which part of the wheel might not be working, or on the emotional scale, is going to help them be able to move forward without the overwhelm type of in the conversation. And when we're talking, we started talking at the beginning about those people who might not be making progress the way you want. Just remember what we said at the beginning around that is, you know, it's their progress. It's how they're doing, not how you want them to do. So I think that kind of ties those pieces together.
Absolutely. I think especially when it comes to someone who's not making progress, you know, there's really just a level of curiosity necessary that holds the other person with grace and is one where you assume the best, right?
Right. Yeah.
And it may also be that it's a good check-in point for a leader to assess one's own thoughts about what is it that I'm trying to get out of this individual and how much of this is my agenda versus their agenda. You know, what have I defined as success here and progress versus, you know, what's really in the best interest for the person and the business, not just myself. Right. So it really helps to take a stand and maybe have a moment of reflection of what is it for me that what am I triggered about? Right. That I'm thinking, oh, this person's showing up and is not making progress. And it's, you know, what are we going to do? They're not doing the thing they said they would. They're not doing, you know, the things that we agreed. Right. So what is it about that? So I think a masterful leader would always really look at what is it that I'm making this mean as well.
And actually, I was just thinking the reverse is true. So the reverse is true where they might be making more progress than the leader feels comfortable with because of the leader's a blueprint on life and the way they've approached things. And this person might be able to make progress faster than you think as well. So don't hold someone back because your blueprint is different to theirs. So is there any final thoughts you wanted to add to this conversation, Yara? And then I've got a question for the audience.
Yeah, there's one more thing that I was thinking of as we're speaking about quality quantifiers, and that's really to give a little side wink back to the 6 human needs from season 1, because that's another great example where we're essentially using the scale from 0 to 10 to assess how are we feeling in terms of certainty, uncertainty, love and connection, contribution, significance and growth, right? Yeah. So it's another way of giving us a hint at why it is that we're feeling the way that we're feeling. So it's another great tool to bring in when we think about helping someone assess.
Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely true. And so if we're wrapping up now, should we wrap up? I've got one question then I'd like to ask the audience. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about your coaching skills on that scale? And what action could you take or what could you do that's going to move it one more up that scale?
I love that. That's great. And of course, if there are certain things that you feel we can support you with that you would like to hear us talk about, speak to, any gaps that you've identified and what would make you a better leader using coaching skills, then absolutely let us know and email us. Our email address is always in the show notes. Then we would love to pick it up just like this listener question, and we'll be happy to give it our best and speak to it next time. So thank you so much for listening today. We hope you got something out of this, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers. Thanks, Yana. Thank you for listening to Coaching Skills for Leaders podcast with Yana and Neil. If you found the conversation useful, please share with your colleagues and friends. Please also leave us a rating and a review. And if you would like to connect with us directly to discuss your own or your business needs, you will find our contact details in the show notes below.